Why do industry titans collapse at their peak? The answer lies in a profound paradox. They fail not despite following best practices, but because of them. Clayton Christensen's groundbreaking research reveals how listening to customers, pursuing higher margins, and making rational resource allocations, hallmarks of good management, can become fatal flaws when disruptive innovations emerge. Imagine building the perfect ship, only to discover the rules of navigation have suddenly changed. This is the innovator's dilemma. The very principles that drive success can eventually ensure failure. What makes this insight so powerful is that it doesn't blame incompetent leadership, but shows how thoughtful, disciplined management can lead companies astray when facing certain types of innovation. The pattern repeats across industries with remarkable consistency, from disk drives to excavators, steel mills to retail, suggesting it's not a series of individual mistakes, but a structural phenomenon as inevitable as gravity. Not all innovations threaten established companies equally. Sustaining innovations, faster processors, higher capacity drives, more fuel-efficient engines, improve performance along dimensions customers already value. Established companies excel at these because they align perfectly with existing customer needs and profit models. Disruptive innovations are fundamentally different. They initially underperform on traditional metrics, but offer other benefits. They're typically simpler, smaller, more convenient, or cheaper. Think how early personal computers couldn't match mainframes in processing power, but offered accessibility and affordability. The disk drive industry provides a perfect case study. When smaller 5.25-inch drives emerged, they stored less data than existing 8-inch drives. Leading manufacturers, listening carefully to their mainstream customers who demanded more storage, logically dismissed these inferior products, only to be blindsided when these smaller drives improved enough to satisfy mainstream needs while retaining their disruptive advantages of smaller size and lower cost. What makes this pattern so dangerous is how reasonable each decision seems at the time. Three structural forces trap even the most forward-thinking companies. First, resource allocation processes naturally favor sustaining projects over disruptive ones. When managers compete for funding, proposals targeting existing customers with clear ROI calculations inevitably win over speculative projects addressing unproven markets. Second, small markets simply can't solve large company growth needs. A $50 million opportunity might excite a startup, but barely registers for a multi-billion dollar corporation needing hundreds of millions in new revenue to maintain growth rates. Third, markets that don't exist can't be analyzed. Traditional market research works well for sustaining innovations, but fails completely for disruptive ones that create entirely new markets. Companies demanding market size validation before investing effectively choose not to enter markets that can't yet be measured. The result? A structural inability to pursue disruptive opportunities despite intellectual awareness of their potential importance. This explains why even companies that pioneer disruptive technologies often fail to commercialize them successfully. Their processes and values are optimized for a fundamentally different type of innovation. Companies consistently migrate upmarket toward higher margin, higher performance products, and rarely move downmarket toward simpler offerings, even when that's where disruptive threats emerge. This northeasterly pull isn't a strategic mistake, but a rational response to competitive pressure. Higher-tier markets offer better margins and opportunities to differentiate through performance improvements. When competition intensifies, moving upmarket rather than fighting harder for the same or lower margins makes perfect business sense. Consider how Seagate Technology, initially focused on 5.25-inch drives for desktop computers, progressively shifted toward higher capacity drives for servers and workstations as competition increased. Similarly, as mini mills disrupted the steel industry starting with low-margin rebar, integrated mills happily abandoned this business to focus on more profitable products like structural steel, only to find mini mills improving and coming after those segments next. This upward migration creates vacuums at the low end of markets, providing perfect entry points for disruptive technologies that eventually move upmarket themselves. How can established companies harness disruptive innovations? The key insight is that disruptive technologies need different organizational structures than sustaining innovations. When IBM entered the personal computer market, they succeeded by establishing an independent business unit in Florida, far from their mainframe operations in New York. This separation allowed the PC division to develop different processes and values appropriate to the personal computer market's needs. Similarly, Quantum Corporation created an autonomous subsidiary called Plus Development specifically to develop smaller 3.5-inch drives when their main business focused on larger formats. This organizational separation works because disruptive innovations initially target different customers with different needs than the mainstream business. Attempting to develop them within existing structures subjects them to processes and values optimized for sustaining innovations, effectively strangling them before they can mature. The most successful approaches create autonomous organizations with different metrics, timeframes, and even physical locations, protecting the disruptive venture from corporate antibodies while allowing it to develop its own appropriate processes and values. Traditional planning processes demand detailed market size projections and financial forecasts, requirements that are impossible to meet when the market doesn't yet exist. For disruptive innovations, a fundamentally different approach is needed: discovery-driven planning that acknowledges uncertainty and focuses on learning rather than executing a predetermined plan. Honda's entry into the American motorcycle market perfectly illustrates this principle. They initially planned to sell large motorcycles to compete with Harley-Davidson, but discovered unexpectedly that their small Super Cub bikes, which they had brought to America just for their own transportation, generated enormous interest from retailers like Sears. This discovery of an entirely new market segment, recreational motorcycling, that valued different attributes, simplicity, affordability, led to Honda's eventual dominance. The most successful innovators make small initial investments, test key assumptions in the real world, and remain flexible enough to pivot as market feedback arrives. They recognize that for truly disruptive innovations, the right strategy emerges through action and learning rather than analysis and planning. Organizational capabilities consist of three elements: resources, people, technology, capital, processes, patterns of interaction and decision-making, and values, standards for prioritization. As organizations mature, their capabilities increasingly reside in processes and values rather than resources. This creates a profound challenge. The very processes and values that make a company effective at its current business become disabilities when facing disruptive change. Digital Equipment Corporation, DEC, exemplifies this dynamic. Despite excellent engineers and technology, DEC's processes were optimized for designing complex mini-computers, processes fundamentally misaligned with the personal computer market's need for simpler designs using standardized components. Their values prioritized engineering elegance over cost minimization. This explains why simply acquiring new resources, hiring different people, or buying new technologies often fails to build new capabilities for addressing disruption. The existing processes and values typically overpower these new resources. True capability building requires creating spaces where different processes and values can develop, spaces where asking different questions and prioritizing different outcomes becomes possible.